Welcome back, listeners. My name is Jackson Vickery, and I am the host and producer of the JV Club podcast. On this episode, I spoke to makeup department head Elle Favreau, hair designer head Natalie Shea Rose, and costume designer Jennifer Starzik about their work on the Iron Claw. I'm so thrilled that I get to speak to all three of you today. I so appreciate the time, and just getting everyone in the same room is just such a treat. So first off, I just have to say thank you so much. And also a huge congratulations on the film. As someone from Dallas, born and raised, having the premiere in Dallas at the Texas Theater was just the absolute coolest experience that I've had in terms of film in Dallas. So just huge congratulations and a really big thank you to you all, because it's just, I know it's not always easy to get everyone's schedule together at this time of year. So I really appreciate the time for chatting with me today.
And thank you for having us. This is really exciting for us, especially to be able to do it with all three of us is so fun.
Jen?
It's our pleasure. And we were so excited to, when Elle and I were first talking, we're like, maybe we can umbrella some stuff, because a lot of people don't do that. And it just seemed like an interesting aspect to kind of go and do your interviews that way and do some of our own interviews for our own outlets. But I think it's so cool to group together, because we do collaborate together when we work along with other department heads. But it's, you know, we talk on a daily basis constantly. So it's really nice to have this conversation. So,
yeah, no, it's been nice sort of putting these little Iron Claw panels together, because it's been a fun little mixture of doing set and production and cinematography and now you three. And so I'm so lucky and really so. But I did just want to start out by everyone just giving me your name and also how you were affiliated with the project. And I will just go in alphabetical order to be fair. And so Elle, if you would like to start, that would be lovely.
Sure. My name is Elle Favreau. I was the makeup department head on Iron Claw. And I actually came to the project. It's fun when kind of all the stars align and you get to work with friends of friends. I did Antonio Campos's show for HBO called The Staircase in 2021. And he was so amazing to collaborate with. And we just got really close, and working with him creatively was amazing. And so when I got a random email for Iron Claw, I actually didn't realize the connection was Antonio. He and Sean Durkin had a production company together and are best friends. So having been recommended by Antonio, it was such an honor to be able to kind of be, I guess, shared in a sense with someone he felt was like a brother to him. And going from that to this creatively was amazing in terms of getting to work with Antonio, and then meeting, you know, the other piece of that brainchild that they had together was great. And so Sean and I linked up on FaceTime a few times, and we just totally hit it off. And here we are.
Yeah. And I mean, also huge congrats on The Staircase. I was obsessed with that show, probably too. That's way too obsessive. So Anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's where Jen and I met. And so we've also developed this amazing working friendship, and it's just been such a treat to get to collaborate with my friends and friends of friends.
And so Jen, I will go to you next.
Right. So similar story. I costume designed The Staircase, and Antonio Campos is like one of the most warmest, generous, and just very interesting, you know, storyteller. And so he had shared my name also with Sean Durkin, and also, but unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize that they were together. Of course, I knew Sean's work, and I was like, didn't Antonio have something to do with that? Never, still put it together until I was on Zoom with Sean, and he was like, Antonio speaks so highly of you. I was like, oh my gosh, of course, hello, this is amazing. So, and similar feelings, and you know that they're two different people, but you know, if you're a friend of Antonio, that you've got to be like, there's like a good kindness heart in there. And so it was a pleasure. As soon as I read the script, I was like, this is my film. I have to design this. Like when I looked up the Von Erichs, I didn't grow up watching wrestling, knew nothing about wrestling. Really, actually my thoughts, ideas about wrestling were completely wrong when I started to actually get into wrestling and doing the research. But anyhow, when I had looked up the boys, I was like, I have to design these costumes. Like, it's like, this is my show. So when it finally came and I was, you know, asked to do it, I was like, I knew this is my show. Like, I was so excited to deliver. So that's how it came about for me.
Yeah. And I'll get into that in just a bit in regards to what everyone's familiarity was. But like you, Jen, even growing up here, not a clue about this family, not a clue about anything with wrestling. So I'm very curious to hear, Elle and Natalie, what your familiarity with the family was. But before we do that, Natalie, have to kick it over to you too, just to get your intro.
Oh yeah, I'm Natalie Shea Rose. I was the hair department head for Ironclaw. I'm actually originally from Houston, Texas, but same thing. I didn't ever, I was like, I know it's like a clash between Houston and Dallas, but I was like, this is kind of unique because I actually know like what people in Texas actually wore their hair like in the 80s, and like what certain subdivisions and suburbs of people like within Texas, like how they wear their hair, like, cause like people in Dallas wear their hair different than people in Houston. And like, so that was really nice. But I actually got brought on by Harrison Huffman. He was one of the executive producers and our line producer, but I'd worked with him twice before. So he called and said he had an idea for me to bring me on, and then had me interview with Sean, and Sean liked me, and then he kicked it over to Zach, who had like final choice. So I had sent like examples of work that I'd done, and then we went from there. So
We'll get into Zach's wigs in just a bit, but Elle, would love to hear what your familiarity just with wrestling/the Von Erichs was or was not.
So it's funny. I've dabbled in wrestling. I knew nothing about the Von Erichs, or, you know, what a legacy that family really was, but I worked on a show that Robert Rodriguez produced and created called Lucha Underground. That was, I think it was 4 seasons total. I did 3 of them. And it was this really cool blend of like American WWE stars with the like luchadors from Mexico. And it was a half scripted, half reality where we shot live matches. And it was some of the most epic athleticism I've ever witnessed live. And like the energy in those rooms are electric. I actually recently just shot a music video where we shot Lucha Underground. And when you type in the address on Google, it has the Lucha Underground arena still listed on there, because that's how, like, for years, that's how iconic that building became. People would line up all day Saturday to come to our shows. And it was such a fun world to be a part of. And I was one of those people that did not know much about wrestling or how real or fake or, you know, what people thought of it, and getting to witness how hard these people worked, but also like the love that they had for this sport, it really resonated through the halls of this arena. So I didn't know much about it until that moment. And then you kind of get, I became like a secret wrestling fan, you know, I'm behind the scenes getting like the female wrestlers ready and our host ready. And then you kind of sneak downstairs and you're watching in between the matches and then you run upstairs and, you know, so getting to be a part of that like electric environment was so exciting. And I actually met Zach before I knew about Iron Claw in like a personal setting. And he was telling me about this film. And I was like, this sounds so exciting and so epic. Like I would totally sink my teeth into this script. And then, you know, fast forward, it all worked out with, you know, getting to be on this project. But because of that sort of introduction in LA to wrestling, I have this like secret fandom now where I'm still not as immersed in like the history of it, but I'm a huge fan of watching what insanity it brings and how fun and crazy it can get. So it was new, but also not my first time necessarily.
Mm. And I'm curious what the research process was like for each of you, because even though, like you said, Elle, I mean, you had some, I mean, past experience in it. I mean, we're talking about a different era, a different region of the country. I mean, like Natalie was saying, I mean, Houston and Dallas, two very, very different animals in terms of people that we meet. And so, and I mean that in the best possible way. I'm just curious, I mean, where did you start culling all of this research? And I'm curious how involved Kevin was in possibly giving Sean something that he could give to you guys, or if Kevin was able to ever chat with any of you. But I'm just curious what that research process was like.
We had I had very little involvement with Kevin. There was a lot of information distilled down from Sean that, you know, you read the script, you have these meetings with Sean who has this vision, and then you just dive right in. Mm-hmm. I came out to Baton Rouge where we shot a few weeks before we started shooting. And the first thing I did was head to Jen's office. And I was like, all right, what do you got for me? Like, let's dive in. And, you know, as a makeup artist, we have a massive kit, but we travel rather light in terms of like our physical, everything is digital in terms of research. And I walked in and Jen's office is just like stacks and stacks of books, and getting to kind of pick her brain to create my looks, and then getting to speak with Natalie, it all mm-hmm. kind of just became this like beautiful brain trust between the three of us, you know, guessing and checking and being like, hey, what do you think about this? And you're like, oh no, that feels a little off. Let's tweak it this way. And mm-hmm. so you really just like, I was watching the matches. I was looking at photos online, doing whatever Von Erich research I could, mm-hmm. and then kind of mirroring whatever Jen and Natalie were doing as well. And then all kind of just coming together collectively. Sean's one thing that he told me, like, you really have to watch this was, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's called Dark Side of the Ring, that mm-hmm. episode on yeah. Hulu. That was kind yeah. of like my first foray into the family and my first introduction. And then you mm-hmm. kind of really dove deep to create those looks after mm-hmm. you kind of understood the whole overarching history of the family. But I worked very closely with Natalie and Jen, because it is you, it's such a specific thing that you have, even for men, everyone's like, oh, it's just men's makeup. It's very specific. And so you really have to kind of get the tonality of all of it right before you even step foot on set.
Mm-hmm. And Jen or Natalie, you can, Jen, what was in your office? I'm curious to hear about
that. Well, the research part of the project is literally my favorite. Like that's when like the excitement, like you're dizzy with excitement of all the possibilities. So I personally do all of my own research because that's how it's going to like enter my brain, and that's how I'm going to process it. And mm-hmm. you know, there's things that just sort of like process naturally, and there's things that you just look at and you're like, your jaw's dropping. So luckily these boys, you know, there was tons and tons of research, very, very easy at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. So you could do a deep dive of just tons of gorgeous photos of them in their clothing and the way they dress. And then we had our list of matches. And I think originally there was around like 20 matches or so. So I had gone and looked up all of those matches myself. Got them in order, you know, did screenshots, saw what I could pull out from those. And I also think the bigger question is just like starting any project, like you're like, okay, who are these characters? Because it's not a documentary, but you're like, who are these characters? Where do they live? Where could they shop? What is their money situation? Like, that's definitely a big part of when you're doing costumes. It's like what's their background and where could they access their clothes? So just sort of thinking in terms of, yes, they were in Dallas when they performed, but they lived in rural Texas in Denton. And just the thought of what does that 1979 when we started our films look like? And even for myself, like I also costume designed Mindhunter, which takes place in 1979 through 82. So we have a little bit of a crossover in the movie. And so I could pull out those books, but I'm looking at completely different ideas when I'm pulling out those books because I'm no longer in Quantico. You're not doing FBI. You're doing a little country, a little rock and roll. You're doing like what these boys are basically that, like they're rock stars and yet they're wrestlers and they're also ranch hands and they're brothers and they're poor. Then they got some money. Maybe they shop at Sears. You know, like I don't think they're out doing high fashion. So just in terms of research would be breaking down all the pictures of themselves, putting those into categories, and then also having like the atmosphere of what's going on in pop culture in the world. And even for my initial meeting with Sean, I had looked at a script in terms of we have wrestling matches, we have these boys at home, and we have the boys like out, like at some parties and stuff. So what are the different bits? Like when they're at home, these guys are like shirtless or in like cut off jeans, like doing ranch tours, like they're not dressed up, you know, they're like basically hanging out and they're underwear. And then when they're wrestling, what does that arc look like? And Sean definitely wanted to have like an arc there where maybe they just started a little bit darker colors and it gets to brighter colors. And that's not only with the costumes, it happened with the ring as well. Mm-hmm. And then also they just have this extensive collection of graphic tees, which I became obsessed with because it was such an 80s thing. And these boys had such amazing one, like we have on Jeremy, like Iowa's for big cocks, like these things that like cross over and nuance levels, but they're also in your face. And it's just like, you know, extremely, I thought just fascinating and kind of representing each of the brothers. Like Mike was into music and he's wearing, you know, Kilikami for Mommy, which is, you know, it's a reference to a band, or a Linda Ronstadt t-shirt. Just sort of like playing with all those worlds and how do we make sure we introduce them into our script so it serves the script. Mm-hmm.
And Natalie?
I mean, yeah, it was very similar. I worked one-on-one a lot with Sean very closely, but I started out with my own research ahead of time, like just so I could have an idea of even what to present or how to present it, you know, like, because there are a lot of different looks, like even specifically for Zach, like Kevin went through a series of state, like he has like almost like brown hair, like a level 6. But then like there are photos where he looks pretty blonde, but I was like, okay, I grew up out in the country on a ranch and my hair used to get really blonde in the summer because I was outside all the time. So I was like, okay, we can maybe kind of find a way to blend this to look good on him. And then, yeah, I mean, we had to do like our first like wig fitting was at the camera test, but that was like the first time we tried everything on and kind of like fit everything and started cutting. And then we had a couple more in between until we kind of like narrowed it down and got everything just right and how we wanted it to where everything looked good. And we were like, myself and Sean and Zach and Harris were all happy. Yeah.
And I remember you three all sort of breaking the internet in a way with sort of a picture that probably you didn't want out into the world, that out into the world in regards to Zach walking out of his trailer. And I think there's a story behind one of you and that particular moment. Is that true?
There was an issue where his bangs had gotten like trimmed too short on another project. So like the way we had built the wig was like a 3/4 wig. And he went back to finish another project and they accidentally cut his bangs. And so it was just, That was a fun little fact. So we had to find a way to make it like, I kind of cheated hair from the back and highlighted it and like crimped his hair in a certain way. So I was like, it'll grow out in a couple days, but for today, it's a little bit short. So.
And I'm just curious what the collaboration between you three was like. Obviously, you guys said earlier in this, you all are collaborating very closely together, but I'm just curious on a regular day, and maybe there was no regular day, every day was different, but I'm just curious what that process was like for the three of you to just really dive in and create these really nuanced characters that, like Jen mentioned, I mean, they all have their own interests in regards to, I mean, maybe one of them likes wearing shirts around the breakfast table, but one only wants to wear underwear. So it's just, I'm curious how that collaboration just all came to be and how you all work together.
Yeah, I'll kick it off because a lot of it does start with me sharing the costume designer would be sharing mm-hmm. the looks. So if I was able to do a fitting board, so you have like all of their changes, like let's say Zach had really roughly like 60 changes and he would be the most going down for character wise. And then I would have like what they're going to wear. So I would also share an overall PDF with hair and makeup, obviously with Elle and Natalie. And then we would do like a daily check-in, and that would just happen mm-hmm. organically. Well, for a couple main reasons too, especially for Elle, because a couple of those boys are covered with tattoos. So she had this extensive tattoo coverage. And if they're going to be, I mean, if it was an obvious thing, like they're going to be in the ring, that wasn't why she would check in. But like, if they're going to be at the ranch, they have their shirt off or they're going to have something sleeveless, like she would have to check in every day just to make sure they were covered before they went to set. But there was definitely just to know, and also our script takes place like from 79 through like 92. So there's mm-hmm. a whole range of, you know, Kevin's character obviously growing up and growing into a different person and coming out of a lot of darkness into the light. So just how we could work together to make sure that represented, and obviously for the ladies, particularly like Lily James' character, who's Pam, mm-hmm. was supposed to be the feminine one, even though she's a very yin yang person. Just making sure that if she's looking 80s, what style of hair in what period of 80s would make sense with her clothing. Also, she's mm-hmm. a mom, she's a vet, like she's also very down to earth. So just sort of working mm-hmm. together and that day-to-day thing. But that would happen organically. Either we would be at set and there'd be a little downtime. You'd be like, hey, here's what they're wearing tomorrow. And we would kind of talk about mm-hmm. it. Or sometimes it would be a morning check-in. Like it would be like, okay, I've got 5 minutes before the boys are in the chair. What's going on today? And just making sure we're all on the same page. But there was definitely a lot of images shared. So everybody was on the same page overall.
Yeah, it was. We definitely had constant communication, like Jen said, whether it was organically or kind of like purposely scheduled. I think the question of the day every day was like, hey, how naked are the boys going to be today? Because tattoo cover was like massive at the end of the day. And also most, I don't know the exact number or percentage, but most of the things that Jen designed were custom. So we had to be really careful that whatever we were using, whether it was for sweat or tattoo cover, all of that wasn't going to be transferring onto these one of a kind costumes. So it was a constant check-in for us to make sure like, okay, what have we done today for the boys? Like, do we need to shave them because their legs are going to be showing? Do we need to retan anyone? Who needs to have tattoo cover? Because for us, it really became a science experiment. On our camera test day, we really saw how covered Jeremy and Harris were with tattoos. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest challenge, besides making sure it didn't get on the wardrobe, was friction. Because when they're mm-hmm. in the ring, everything you are seeing, there was a few stunt moments. They run the matches all the way through, and these boys are in it. There is no, hey, Sean, can you cut his tattoo? His show? There was no moment for that. So for us, it was like, what concoction can we create that is going to cover the tattoos, allow us to put sweat over it, allow the boys to sweat naturally, and not transfer onto the costumes? So mm-hmm. we finally kind of figured out this recipe that worked beautifully for us, that kind of stuck up against the friction, allowed us to do what we needed to do in terms of sweat and shine as well, just for, you know, aesthetics, and really keep the boys comfortable. And so there was definitely that constant between Jen and I of like, okay, well, what can we get away with today? Like, you know, what do we have to cover? What do we have to shave? And then, like she said, with Pam, it was really just checking in. Like, one of my favorite looks for her was the wedding. And the second I saw Jen's designs for her wedding dress, my brain just starts going, and you start pulling photos and mood boards. And I created something that I thought would look really amazing with Natalie's hair design and Jen's costume design. And then I basically took it to Lily and I was like, this is what we're thinking. And she was like, I absolutely love this. We're totally on the same page. It reads 80s, but it's not that crazy 80s that you see in a Madonna music video, because that's just not where she is at in her life or in the world. So it's finding those like moments and then really fine tuning them. And so those conversations were happening constantly.
Well, yeah, and it happens. I have the same conversations then too, also with each of the actors, because I mean, the three of us all work together, but then like for me, for instance, like even the makeup, like you said, for not transferring on costumes, but that was also like, I couldn't have their tans transfer into like the blonde wig or the blonde hair, because that'll stay. Because especially blonde hair is like extremely porous, so it soaks up everything. So, which is another thing, like that was another communication we had to have, is figuring out, like, even for like Ric Flair, we had like a really expensive wig that we had rented for him. But then we couldn't get blood on that because it would ruin it. So we had to have like a blood wig that was a separate option. So, but then like whatever wig we had working, it was like, oh wait, we actually have two on that guy that day, because we have a blood option and a regular option. So,
and also, if you remember, he had that pink robe and the pink dye from the She was like, why is there pink in my
wig? I was like, is that the blood that's asleep?
I think that's how it arrived. Yeah. That was like fabric dye remover. I didn't know.
Yeah, we managed to get it out, whatever it was. We figured it out, but it worked out. But yeah, and then I know, like, even like with Lily, I had a girl, there was a different artist that actually did her hair. Her name is Allie Vickers, and she did a fantastic job. So she took care of Lily throughout the whole thing, since I was with Zach and the boys. But she, the hardest thing for her with Lily was honestly like keeping her more toned down, because she has so much hair and it's just so voluminous and gorgeous that we'd be like, okay, we're just going to curl it and do something really simple, and it would just like look so beautiful. We were like, okay, let's spray it with a little water. It's too pretty. Like, she looked like a runway all the time. So we were like, okay, we have to make her look like a little more natural. Like, it's just so easy to make her look gorgeous and stunning. And it was like, that wasn't exactly where Pam was. I wanted her to have like a look that was like, okay, more casual, like maybe her mom or something probably did her hair for her or something, instead of she went somewhere and got all done up. Like, I wanted everything to be very natural to like who they are. Just like all my friends that used to get married, you know, like.
Yeah, that's what I loved about Lily too, though, is she was down to take it wherever it needed to go. Like, whether it was 80s wedding, you know, a crazy veil with hair and like all, or no makeup and hair in a ponytail. Like, she was always down to take the character wherever it needed. Like, there was no, hey, can we put makeup on? It was like, hey, I think we should, let's take this all the way down. I'm coming home from work. It's been a long day. So that's always really nice when it comes to collaborating, not just between the three of us, but with the actors, when they're really just happy to like, let us go where we need to go with it, even if that means kind of the less is more approach, or like, you know, the frizz or whatever it, you know, needs to be. It's nice to have that support from the actors and the director to really trust us to take that character to where we need it to be.
And Jen, Elle was mentioning the percentage of custom where to how much you purchase, and I'm curious what the final answer on that was, because I mean, talk about, I mean, some of the costumes you pulled out for those, I mean, just for those wrestling scenes in general. And I'm curious to get your response just based on that percentage, but also, I mean, factoring in I mean, the fact that they're wearing these very skimpy or tight outfits and having to factor in choreography to all of this, which I mean, is also just so beautifully done. And so, I mean, it's when you said there's hardly any stunt work, it's like, how do you just throw your body like that? So I'm just curious, from your perspective, what that was, how that all played out.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think going into the project, it was such an amazing script. It spanned so much time. There's an ensemble cast. You had a lot of wrestling and stunt scenes. We also had limited time and limited budget. So I knew that if I was going to focus anything on Made to Order, it was going to have to be wrestling first and like see where that budget could take me to do all the wrestling costumes, which we completely custom made from scratch for every single one of those matches. And not even all of them got into the screen for that final cut of the movie that we're watching now. But, and I had asked the assistant costume designer to get a little tally, because I was like, I knew at one point she was like checking off a tally, and I was like, oh, that's such a great idea. I would love that. And it came down to 94 trunks custom made, 24 ring robes, 42 knee pads, and 26 pairs of boots. And like, none of that went seemingly. Like, it was just like, everything was a definite struggle to get that to get done in time. Some things arrived the day of. A pair of boots couldn't cure. The glue was like coming off. The guy had to like drive from the other side of Texas to bring them like right before like Harris is going on screen. I mean, it was just, it was a very stressful endeavor, and yet so exciting. And that was being parceled out accordingly as well, because I had one talented cutter fitter, Brick. I've worked with him now. This would be like our fourth project together, but there was only so much he could manage on his own. So I put him on ring robes, because that's what I thought of when I first hired him. I was like, this is up your alley. They need to have quality, an element of somebody's making these at home. Is it Doris? Is it their aunt? Like, I still don't have the answer to that. That is my goal before this movie. Like, before in the next couple months, I'm asking, I got to get in touch with Kevin or something. Who made the costumes for you guys? But they have that quality of homemade, but they're very polished and well done and bedazzled and have a lot of personality inside them. So Brick mainly made all of the Made to Order robes, and that was a whole custom feat within itself. And then for the trunks, Brick was also very talented with swimwear. We had made some swimwear in another project together, Reminiscence, but he was like, I cannot pull off 100 trunks, these ring robes, all the alteration. It was like, we have to find someone to do that. So that became a learning process for myself, which is one of the things you like to do in every film. And there's a certain machine that needs to make those kind of trunks. There's, if for us, we couldn't afford to get the machine or get someone in just to make them. So we ended up partnering with a wrestling company called High Spots. And they kindly, we were like, here's our calendar. Here's when these people will be cast. Some of these things you'll be getting the day before. You know, can you turn this around for us? And they were like, we would love to. They were like so kind and so generous to us. So for our main actors, we made a pattern, because Zach and Jeremy and Harris's and Holtz and then all of the subsequent day players, you know, the person that plays like Harley Race and all these people, they all have completely different bodies. So we would have to fit them right away, wherever they were located, get a chunk on them, make a pattern off of that, do all the alterations of where it should hit and where it should work, how it fits their front and their back and the sides and the thigh. And then we would send that off to High Spots with the fabric, with an illustration, and they would return them to us. And we'd still have to do some tweaks here and there, but if it wasn't for them, we would not have, like, they would have just been a boring off the rack trunk that we bought from like online. And and then I found this amazing bootmaker, which proved to be more difficult than I would have thought. There's gorgeous bootmakers in Los Angeles that do all sorts of things for costumes and movies, but they were like, we cannot fit you in the schedule. There's no way we can make this work. You have too many, you know, components involved. And so I was just looking on Instagram and I was like, somebody has to make boots and I'm going to find this person. And all of a sudden, a bootmaker named Ray Chaviaro, and he's goes by Ace Boots, had a picture of Kerry's boots that he custom made as like a fandom thing. And I was like, hi, my name's Jen. Can we talk? Like, I just like Instagrammed him and DM'd him on Instagram, I have to say. And he wrote back and I was like, here's an NDA. Like, let's talk tomorrow. And this poor guy didn't know what he was in for because he I don't think he's ever made something of that like level in just a few weeks. And it was very difficult for him. And not only was there a pair of boots for the cast, but they had to have a stunt double pair of boots. And those people aren't the same size. Like the guy that played Ric Flair, let's say he was a size 10, but his stunt double literally was like a size 15. I mean, it was just this unbelievable feat to get all of the components to be there on the day. And of course I had this very grand schedule, like where I was like, you know, head to toe look. And then I had met with Sean and Mateus to kind of like walk through all that. And that's when I kind of learned a lot of the matches were going to start mid-match. We're not going to see them enter. We're not going to see them take off the robe. Sometimes you'd be like, let's take the robe. Let's make the robe. Maybe I can try to fit it into it, because obviously he had his idea of his frames, but we didn't have a storyboard artist. So it was hard to get that information to know exactly where you needed to land and make sure all you had the costume components for the day of. And so that was our made to order feat. And that was the biggest challenge, but challenge accepted. So, and if it wasn't for all these people being involved and helping, it would have been like a disaster.
Listening to that, I just want to say I was there. Like I saw, but like we don't really know what's going on. And you're like behind the scenes world. We show up on the day and Jen's got a smile on her face. She's like, everything's gonna be okay. So listening to that, I'm like, oh my God, look at you go.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine.
Waiting on camera, another one. You know,
yeah, exactly. Just like yeah, we can do this.
Yeah. But I'm curious, and I mean, with all of the looks that you guys are having to turn out, I'm curious if there's one in particular for each of you that maybe there's just a particular nugget that you're especially proud of, or something that you found extremely challenging that, I mean, turned out extremely rewarding. And I'm just curious if each of you sort of have one of those moments. I mean, you probably have many of those moments, but one that really sticks out to you.
I definitely have one. Mine, unfortunately, is kind of a twofold, because one of my favorite looks didn't actually make it into the final cut, which it makes sense that everything was beautiful in the final cut, and I'm okay that it did not make it there. But we actually did. There was a scene with Zach and Holt that was to take place later. And I got to do like an old age makeup on Holt. And Holt and I were so proud of that old age makeup. And we were so excited about it, because it was one of those moments that it was crucial for the scene to sell that jump in time. But it was such like a subtle, we didn't have the time to turn around prosthetics. So we did this really old school method called stretch and stipple, and we airbrushed him and we did up this whole thing, and it looked amazing. And Holt just wore it so well in that scene. So I really loved that makeup, and it was really exciting to get to do that with Holt, because he is so fun to collaborate with. He gets really into the character, and it pulls you into the character even more. You just get sucked into Holt's world, and it was the best, because it pushes you creatively, because we're in Baton Rouge. He's like, hey, can we do an old age test tomorrow? And I'm like, and then you see how excited and immersed in this character he is. You just want to do it. You want to do whatever you can for him, because you're like, if this is what's going to help you, I'm there. And so that was like a fun little thing that we got to do that, you know, ultimately didn't make it in, which is totally, you know, fine. But I think my favorite, look kind of actually in general was the wedding. Like the boys cleaned up, Lily was glammed up, like every element of everything that we were doing for everybody in terms of their like everyday makeup or their ring, you know, their ring look, whatever it was, we really got to just like have fun that day. We got to have fun with the background, with all of the family. And I think because there was dancing involved and all sorts of like, it just made the experience of doing those makeups that much more exciting. So I really love those looks a lot. And I think between the hair and the costumes all paired together, it's like, oh man, it's so good.
Oh yeah, the wedding was definitely a ton of fun. Like, we got to line dance. That was just specifically fun for me. But yeah, no, I mean, just like Elle said, like the Holt had a lot of different looks, but everything for him was very subtle for me. So like, I mean, obviously there's all the stuff about the wigs and that's all very important to me, but like one thing that'll probably go more unnoticed, and hopefully so, because I don't want it to be noticeable, but like there were just like little details, like Elle said, like he really does suck you into that world. And so like we like even I thinned his hair out so it looked thinner in certain spots, so it looked like he was losing his hair a little bit more, and then I'd fill it in. And then like I like hand painted and airbrushed in different colors, so like I would hand paint gray hairs in and like just like slight little flecks as we aged him. And then we had the flashback scene, and it's black and white. So, but back then, like the photos of Fritz, his hair was like more of like a blondish color. So we did, but I wound up doing like a temporary foam dye, so we could rinse it out so we could go back to the other looks. But we did it in like kind of like an orangish red base, so that within under the black and white film, it would read blonde, you know? So that was a nice big transformation that it's like, it's little subtle things, but like, even the family came up and they're like, oh my God, you got my dad's hair just right. And I was like, that's all I need to hear. Your opinion is all that matters.
Sure, yeah. For me, I couldn't pick just one either. And probably, you know, as Fritz's character would say, like, you know, the rankings may change, but I obviously love Lily in her wedding dress, because she's naturally like that, like Princess Cinderella, like she was Cinderella, by the way, you know, so it was like, she had this like shape. And so we had originally, when you look at Kevin and Pam's actual wedding picture, it's in summer, ours was in winter, and hers is like very simple, and it's also like very indicative of the 80s. It has like this sheer sort of like 16 candles like hat that they wear, and like the off the shoulder, it had that kind of a vibe. So I had picked some dresses like that, and then and I had some alts, and then when I got into some alternatives to try on her, so when I got into her fitting for that and I saw the different silhouettes, I was like, I need to find the most like princess shape that goes into her waist with the poofiest skirt, and get me all the biggest crinolines you can find. And as I was out shopping for that, I was like, white cowboy boots, okay, we need that too. And then I had called up the costume house, and I was like, I need anything that says like leather and lace, like what do you have in a veil that says like leather and lace? She's like, we have this one 1980s veil, and it points to the front from Western Costume, and it had this like wonderful thing, which like worked so well with hair and makeup and the whole thing. And she was stoked. I was stoked. It was like super fun, but definitely like the highlights for me would just be picking out a couple of the ring robes. I thought getting David's Yellow Rose of Texas robe correct was like an ultimate feat in itself. It was really hard. Speaking of like communication, like I couldn't find any, besides some pictures online, I couldn't find, like I never saw anything in person. I never, you know, you had to like just keep deep diving and trying to like, it wasn't until we kept going and going and going, and I'd come in one day and like the cutter fitter brick would be like, there's rhinestones all over here too. Like he would just like, was like just at home, just like just looking for like the best images whatsoever to recreate. And I think we killed it. And we had tried to, cause there was a museum in Texas that had closed, but this was in, still people had COVID hours last year when we were filming. So you were like, is it closed? Is it open? Like maybe is it kind of make an appointment. So, anyhow, I was like, kept trying to find it. I had somebody in Texas drive to the place. I was like, who do we know that lives in Texas by this place? Let's go to this museum and see what's open. So it had said closed. And I was like, what's the building? What's the building? So we found out the building, and I had called the security guard. I was like, is there somebody, are these costumes still in there? I need to find out what they look like. And we're like, this was week one of prep, you know, here in California. And just being the kindness of maybe like Southern people. I mean, someone gave me someone's number, and I called up some random woman, and I forgive me because I don't remember her name, but her name was like Lisa or something. So it was like, how can I help you? I love the Von Erichs, you know. So it was just like, it was just this whole thing. And lo and behold, the costumes were no longer there. The museum had closed down. They'd been returned to whoever their next of kin was. She didn't know who that was. She thought maybe it was Carrie's daughter. And because, you know, we're on an NDA in a movie, we're not making a doc. It's like, I'm only looking for public things, or things that are open to the public. I'm not reaching out to anybody. It was not shared with us if we could communicate with Kevin. This was Sean's project, so it wasn't something I even like asked if it was somebody I could talk to or something. So but back to answering the question, I love David's Yellow Rose of Texas, and I love obviously Ric Flair's row because it's so ridiculous. I mean, it's just Sean gave me carte blanche to pick whatever, and it was later in our wrestling schedule, like later in our wrestling part of our movie schedule. So at that point I got to see all the colors I'd already used and what we would be seeing. And Ric Flair had just one iconic robe after another. It was like the biggest belaboring thing. You would have thought I was like adopting a baby. I was like, which robe do I make? And so finally I was like, it needs to be pink, like, because no one's wearing pink. It needs to have Nature Boy, because this guy dresses like Liberace and his nickname's Nature Boy. It needs to have feathers on it. Like, it was like, it needs to have the sequence on it. So, and also we needed to make it and be able to afford to make it. So it became, we ended up replicating one of them, but there was so much sequence and so much stuff on it that, you know, my cutter fitter had this, he like glued it down. I mean, the way he created it was unbelievable. So I'm very also proud of that. And it's a showstopper. It's a nice, fun mm-hmm. costume piece on top of all of that.
Mm-hmm. And then final question, if you guys don't mind, I know we're right at time, but in this story, I mean, we obviously have the grandeur of wrestling and what that all is, but also behind it is, I mean, the terrible tragedies that take place throughout the film. And I'm just curious what you guys take away from, I mean, just working on a project like this and what you learned maybe about humanity through wrestling or humanity through, I mean, the community that these people are all a part of. That's, I think, what stuck with me. I mean, the whole thing is about family. And I mean, seeing it at the Texas Theater with the wrestling community showing up and Kevin being there and everyone. It really does feel like a large community that was out to support. But at the same time, there's a lot of isolation and pressure that gets hold of you. So I'm just curious what you take away from working on a project like this. That is a community focus too. So
yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed working on the whole thing. Like it's really interesting to figure it all out. Like I used to watch like WWF. No, I wasn't familiar with the WWE when I was a kid, but I was into the WWF. So which is a very different kind of theme then. So I didn't know as much about the Von Erichs or the tragedies until I got involved with the project. But I had known about like the wrestling community and like just how much that, like, I knew how important getting everything right would be, just because I was like, these people, this is their soul. Like, this isn't just like a matching a photo. This is like somebody, like, this is their hero, you know? So you really have to get it right, because like everybody knows exactly what everything's going to be like. And then, but that also makes it equally as important, like getting like we were talking about getting their hair right, down to like, okay, this is a funeral scene. They would dress up this, or they wouldn't be emotionally able to handle something. Like you have to like follow all that, like your character arcs with your designs throughout the film too. And then like, and on top of that, you have all these actors that were actually wrestling. So like they were going through some of the pit, like we were all like fight, like working through it all together. So it kind of like you, I feel like every set you get on, you all kind of become a little family as well. So it's like, we all work through everything together.
I was going to say that when we first started, there was either Sean or somebody else had mentioned that, I mean, a lot of the public, I should say, mentions that they're sort of like the Kennedys of wrestling. And, you know, I came from Massachusetts, so I'm like, Kennedys of wrestling, what the heck are they talking about? And then when you started to see, I was like, oh, these are this talented family that are gifted all of these gifts, and they have gone through so much tragedy. Just like, and I was like, of course they are the Kennedys of wrestling. They're so beloved and so admired. And, you know, my takeaway from it was just when we were at the premiere, I had said to Elle, I was like, we're meeting Kevin. Like, sorry, Natalie, I didn't know where you are. I was like, we're going to go. And I just asked Sean to go introduce us to Kevin. So, because, you know, it's such, yes, he was the brother that survives, but like he just, his perseverance and his admiration and what he endured. And like, he's so zen-like. I mean, it's no coincidence that he was like a barefoot wrestler and he ends up in Hawaii. And I just think that there's so much love there. You could tell he loves his brothers. His biggest comment after, you know, at the premiere was, we loved our father too. Cause obviously, you know, for artistic reasons, we're showing Fritz, you know, always pushing. And so I think he wanted to make that known, like, you know, we loved our father too. Like, this is just how our family grew up. And also just taking away any prejudgment of wrestling. I don't mean that in a bad connotation. Like, I didn't know anything about it until I started to learn the sport. And like these ladies have said, it's live theater at its best. It is like so mind blowing. Not only do they have to be completely athletic, but their choreographer, their acting, their showmanship. I mean, I was like a fan by the end of it. And it was so lovely to learn that gift and just keep that strong. And then lastly, I was just going to say, I can't tell you how many people after we watched the premiere said, I got to go call my brother right now. I got to go call my family. Like, I need to tell someone I love them. So obviously it did the right thing making that statement, just like to cherish, you know, things in your family that you can't control either.
Mm. Yeah, I think for me, again, I knew a little bit about wrestling, didn't know anything about the Von Erichs. I read the script and I was like, there's no way that this is real. And then I started doing my research and I was like, oh my, this family has been through so much. So I'm going to be honest, when I'm shooting a project like that, that has a lot of these really intense emotional sequences, you kind of have to put blinders on, or at least I do, because it can get emotionally overwhelming. You're working with these actors who are in these headspaces. So physically that you can feel that energy. And so while you're shooting, you kind of have to put blinders on to be like, I have to show up today and I have to get my job done. These scenes are going to be emotional, but I know that, you know, we can get through it. And watching these actors with these beautifully intense performances, kind of at the end of the day, you just like take a deep breath and like, you know, take it all in. And then fast forward a year later and you see it on screen and, you know, you sit there and you're watching it and you're like nitpicking your work, and then boom, an emotional moment comes up and you're completely taken out of nitpicking because now you're sucked into this moment with these actors. And I can't tell you how many times throughout the premiere, I looked over at my fiance and she just has like tears streaming down her face. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is hitting, like, I'm literally getting chills just thinking about it. Like, it's hitting people in a way that like, I couldn't allow it to connect with me while we were shooting. And then you kind of step out of the premiere and she has two older brothers. And immediately she was like, she was one of those people that looked at Jen and I, and she was like, I want to text and call my brothers right now. Like, you didn't realize how intense those emotional connections were going to be, because you have to kind of separate church and state in that way, you know, like you have to be able to like get through your day. So then seeing it at the premiere, you just like let it all out and you're like, oh, this was such a beautifully tragic story. And I'm so grateful to have been a part of it, because it really is so important to so many people. And it was truly an honor to be able to collaborate with Natalie and Jen and Sean and the boys, but to be able to tell this story and hope that we served the family and did them justice. And I'm really, really proud of the work that we've done.
Absolutely. And I think you should all be very proud of the work that you guys did, because it really is remarkable. But I know we're over time, but I want to thank you guys so, so, so much for taking the time today to chat with me about this project. It obviously has meant a lot to me, just from the Dallas side of things, and just bringing that side of the world to the big screen. But I mean, yes, your contributions to the film are just, I mean, I can't say enough good things about it. So I really just have to say thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me and for your work, because it's remarkable.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you, Justin. That was a pleasure.
Yeah. It's been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. This podcast was hosted and produced by yours truly, Jackson Vickery, but a very special thank you to Sterling Gavinsky for the theme music and to Carly Haney for the artwork. We will see you next time.